Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Like Pastor Jonathan said, it's the second time I've had the opportunity to share some thoughts from the Bible with you, which I very much value and honor, and I don't take that privilege lightly. So I've been pondering. It just so happens that this week I've had to share thoughts twice. I work with a missions organization, and every Thursday we have a chapel time, and so I had the opportunity to share at chapel on Thursday, and so that's kind of fed into this morning, thinking and pondering on what to share this morning. And so, I might just move to the side so you can actually see. Is that all right? Great. So yeah, what I'm going to be doing is just having a look through and sharing some thoughts on the Beatitudes and Jesus' example of the cycle of discipleship. Now, we'll unpack that as we go along this morning. So next slide, please, Andrea. Matthew 4:23-25 says this. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread throughout Syria. So they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, and the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Like I said, over the past few weeks, I've been just kind of preparing for chapel on Thursday, and the theme that God laid on my heart to share for chapel was actually on that of brokenness. On Sundays, particularly in church, we don't really think too much about, you know, brokenness, but it's kind of cool how the rest of this morning has kind of tied into that theme a little bit. As we can see from this opening text here, that brokenness is kind of important. People were brought to Jesus because they were broken in some way. They were sick. They were demon possessed. They were paralyzed. There's a lot of brokenness, and the world. I think you just have to turn on the news for 3 seconds to see that the world we're living in at the moment is continuing this kind of brokenness. We're seeing it intensely, and not just the world, but even Christians. We continue to go through suffering and periods of trials and difficulties, and there's an element of brokenness. And the one that heals it all, I love it. And he healed them. Yes. Jesus is the answer. And, you know, I know that sounds very Sunday schoolish, but it's true. Jesus is the answer. That's at its at its simplest. Jesus is the answer. The thing is, so, you know, we become Christians. We enter into a relationship with God because we are at this point where we're so broken, we're so downtrodden because of our sin. We're at a point where we're like, you know what? I can't fix myself. I think all Christians, if you've become a Christian, you know that point where you've gone, okay, God, I just give up because I can't do it. I need help. Anybody recognize that? Or am I just, you know, sharing my own testimony? That's where I've been, certainly. The thing is that when we become Christians, we become positionally holy. So we get a holiness immediately, and it puts us into a position of holiness before God, which is great. If we have a look at the next slide. In Acts 13:38-39, it says, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through this man," and that's Jesus, "forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you, and everyone who believes in him is justified from everything that you could not be justified from through the law of Moses." In other words, you know, we couldn't justify ourselves through our actions, trying to do the right stuff. But he has justified us. So we're positionally holy. We're set free from every sin. But perhaps it's just me, once again. I think we also need to be honest enough to acknowledge that we're not perfect. Some of us perhaps are a little bit more perfect. I think Marie's a little bit better than me. That's my wife, for those who... Yeah. Yeah, huh? Thank you, PJD. Yep. in fact, next slide here from 1 John, it kind of highlights this point that even if we become Christians, and we do become Christians, we can still sin. Uh-oh. 1 John 1:8-10 says this: if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. It's verses like that, like our senior pastor in Australia would say, if you can't say amen, say ouch. You know, it's one of those ones. It's like, oh, because as Christians, certainly as humans, I think part of the human condition is for us to kind of to hide our shame. You know, dial it back, if you will, all the way in the biblical narrative to Adam and Eve. No, you don't have to go forward. Not yet. To Adam and Eve, they sin, right? And what did they do? They hid. Not once, but twice. They sewed up some fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. Oh, we're a bit ashamed, so we need to hide away. And then when God's coming along, they hid off in the trees as well. So they didn't just hide once, they hid twice. And I think that we tend to do that still. When we have shame, when we have sin, when we have difficulties that we're dealing with, we tend to hide them away. We'll kind of unpack that a little more as we go on. So yeah, in fact, we probably all still sin. The thing is that while we're justified, when we come to Jesus, the Bible actually shows us that there is a practical outworking of our sanctification. And that's a very nice theological word, and I hope you'll have a better understanding of that. Who knows what sanctification means, Bible college students? Come on. That's all right. Under Pastor Colin, you'll find out. It's fine. Believe me. Yeah. So sometimes it's called a progressive or perhaps an experiential sanctification. It means that you're walking through this process of becoming holy as he is holy. So we have this position where we're immediately made holy in standing before God, but then he helps us to walk into holiness where we become more like Jesus, where we go from glory to glory, where we go from strength to strength. It's this walk. Yeah, that is definitely the effect of our relationship with Jesus. And I think Peter talks about it in the book of Peter. We'll have the next slide. It says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So yeah, it's this progressive sanctification. It's the same thing. We're growing in the Lord. We're growing in spiritual maturity. So then, what does that kind of have to do with this morning's message, I hear you ask? Oh, well, thank you, PJD. I'm glad you asked. Let's have a look at the next slide. It's not uncommon for the majority of us to have a look at life in general in a linear manner. Does that make sense? So we start at a point A and we carry on from there. For example, we might see history as this journey of a single line. So you start at point A, you can pick wherever it is, and then you track forward to now. We could look at employment kind of the same way. You know, yes, I started my job here, and I've moved forward, I've progressed, I've got promotions, I've got more money, whatever. You know, it's this linear progression. Even with our lives, you know, we begin at birth or conception, depending on your point of view. And if we take, well, and then, of course, we kind of end at death. And if we take it that step further, then we kind of begin our spiritual lives as well at that very point of brokenness that I mentioned before, and then move forward from there. So let's have a look at a verse. I just want to have a start to frame up an alternate idea to this linear cycle, this linear outlook. Many of us know this. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, most of us know that this is the beginning of the what? The Beatitudes. Yeah, exactly. Now, what do you think happens? What do you think might happen to our concept of discipleship if we were to hold a linear view of the Beatitudes? Anybody? Feel free to interact. It's a good thought. Yeah. And what does anyone else think about that? You agree? Disagree? Have thoughts? I'll let you ponder it. Okay? Because I would like to suggest that one thing that could happen is that we fall into the trap of box ticking. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay. I seem to be done with that. So now I can tick that off the list because there's a list of things that need to be done. And now I can move on to the next thing, the next part of the list of these Beatitudes to show that I'm a good Christian. Here's a question for you. Rhetorical. Take it away with you. What happens when you get to the end of the list? Where do you go? If it's a linear progression, where do you go when you get to the end of that list? It's like, okay, God, that's it. I'm done. I'm perfect. Thank you. Ready for heaven now. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so I think that there's something that's very cool to be seen in the Beatitudes, actually, and it is an insight, at least in my opinion. I think it's an insight into this blueprint of discipleship, and what I'd like to do this morning is challenge us on something. What if we could look at the Beatitudes in a different light? So rather than looking at it as that linear progression, what if we were able to explore them as a cyclic process? Okay. If we go to the next slide, I think. Yeah, so we begin in poor in spirit and move forward. If we go to the next slide, what happens if we start to look at it in a more of a cyclic manner? So we begin with, like we saw in that first text there, we begin with being poor in spirit. I think that's a great descriptor of brokenness, isn't it? Really, if we dial back to where we started this morning, we were saying we're looking at brokenness. We all begin our Christian life because we're broken. We come to God saying, "I need help, God. I can't do it all on my own anymore." And so he's like, "Great, you're poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, then yours is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, depending on your translation." That's the beginning point. It's a great start. From there, we can kind of roll into a period of mourning. If we have a look at the next slide, the Bible says that blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you've ever gone through a period of grief, a really great definition that we know, Marie and I know of that, is that grief is adjusting to a new normal. And even when we become Christians, sometimes we will mourn something that has shifted in there. We have a friend here who has a very powerful testimony of that, coming from a Muslim background, coming to faith. There's, you know, you're not just poor in spirit and you become there's the kingdom of heaven, but there's a period of mourning because things in life have just gone. It's not suddenly all roses because you've become a believer. Sometimes we still go through mourning. But the promise is, for those who mourn, there is comfort. Amazing. And so let's roll through, just having a look at some of the others. Blessed are those who are gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. We'll go through all of them. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And just hold there for a minute. All of these things are at work in our lives. Sometimes this cycle might be a slow cycle. Sometimes it might happen really quickly. God might, you know, in an instant move you from being poor in spirit all the way down to hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's kind of cool. God's able to do that. I think so. But this is where this idea of the cyclic nature of discipleship comes in, because the last point is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the, what do you know, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. It's exactly the same promise as those who are poor in spirit. And so there's this linchpin with the kingdom of heaven. There's this link with the kingdom of heaven. And you can begin to see the cycle starts to roll around again and again. Now, I brought a visual illustration. This is a deflated ball. I apologize. I didn't have time to pump it up. But you can see it's circular. And if you pass it around, perhaps, you can see there's a joining line on there. If you imagine that line, you know, that ball is on the ground and it's kicked, it rolls. Even though it's not linear itself, as it's moved forward, as it's done a rotation within our linear worldview, guess what it's done? It's actually moved forward a little bit. It has progressed. Even though it's only done a single rotation, the item itself hasn't, you know, really moved. Because of how it connects with its environment around it, it has moved forward. Interesting thing Marie pointed out about the ball illustration is that it's not just circular, it's spherical, which means it could actually not just move forward, but it can move sideways and move in three-dimensional space, which really just, yeah, blows my mind even more. Like, ooh, I need to ponder on that a little more. But you can see, it's a fun little illustration. Let's have a look at this next slide. Anybody want to hazard a guess what this is? It's a watch. It's the inside of a watch. And one of the things which I found really interesting is we've got, there's one, two, three, I think that's a fourth one underneath, five, six, I think there's eight. I could be wrong, but I think there's eight cogs inside this particular watch. If a watch has eight wheels, wheels within wheels, to make it work, how much more does that visual apply to our lives? We our life might be on this kind of macro level, a cycle of discipleship that we're going through, yes. But what if there are areas of our lives that are going through that micro process of the cycle of discipleship? What if, you know, on the whole, we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness? If you go back to the previous slide, we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness and we're being satisfied on that kind of macro level. But what happens if family life at home is being a little bit difficult at the moment, as an example? Perhaps at that point, we're actually kind of being broken and made poor in spirit. But then what about work? Things at work are going really good, and because you're a Christian, you're actually starting to get persecuted. You know? I start to see this visual, go back to the watch, that our lives, perhaps, I would like to suggest our lives are a little bit like this before God. It's not this nice and neat and easy package. I'm sure you know this. It's life. Life's a mess. But if there's one person that we can turn to for help, regardless of the mess of our life, who would that be? Don't come to me. Okay, I can help with a few little things perhaps, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's Jesus, for sure. The answer is always Jesus. And he wants us to, like I said, become more like him. And the process of doing that is allowing him to walk us through this kind of cycle of discipleship in every area of our life. And in every area of our life, we become to look more like him. And as all of those little areas become to look more and more like him, then the big picture of our life starts to look more and more like him. And so when people look at us, they might be tempted, and to be honest, I think we are tempted to continue to hide our shame. And who here has ever heard people say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Do you know why people say that? It's because of our tendency to hide our shame. Because we're not, you know, it's difficult in a church context, certainly a Sunday context, to be honest enough to say, you know, I'm still dealing with some brokenness in my life. I don't have it all together. Nevertheless, God is at work in my life and working that out. And so there's a great quote, makes me smile. It says, saying that you're not going to go to church because of hypocrites is like saying you're not going to go to the gym because of the fat people. The church should be a place full of broken people. Because this is the place where we will get healed. This is the place where we will get restored. This is the place where we will tap into and access what Jesus promised. Life to the full. To the full. Our Christian walk isn't just about our salvation. It's about walking with God and with Jesus and living a life in him to its fullness. That's discipleship. Allowing him into all of our areas. The good ones, at least the ones that we think are good, as well as the ones that we are really, really ashamed of. Because he's the one that'll fix it. Like the watchmaster, he'll tinker away and he'll adjust the timing so that the whole package begins to work more in sync and more with the design that he has for you and for me. So, I'll finish up there, in a sense. What I want to do is give you some practical stuff. You know, I like the theoretical. I like the mental gymnastics that comes with pondering on things, and I'd be very happy to just walk away and go, yep, that's it. All done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But I want to give you something practical. And it was fantastic this morning because PJD showed us these, a blue card that's upside down and an orange card. The blue card is a prayer request. It says, write down what you're believing the Lord for so that we can agree with you in prayer. Part of the cycle of discipleship is doing life with others. And saying, I need help, not just to God, but to others, to say, can you help me? Yes, we can. We'll help you in a real way, but we'll also agree with you in prayer. So we shouldn't be. We will feel ashamed, but if we're going through stuff, we shouldn't be ashamed to fill in one of these and to say, hey, can you help? Can you at least agree with me in prayer? I'm going through some stuff this week. Can we do that? Can we agree to at least consider doing that? Because what happens is, as we know, we see this kind of transform into one of the orange cards. And it says, briefly, write down how the Lord has answered your prayer. This then becomes testimony. I mean, the Bible promises that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We need to declare our testimony. We need to say, I have been broken in this area, and this is a declaration that God's pulled it together. God has pulled it together, which is very cool. And what I also want to do as a day-by-day thing, because obviously we only kind of hand these in on a Sunday. So what can you do for the rest of the week more practically? I would love for us all to actually recite the Lord's Prayer every day this week. I won't read it for you. I'm sure you know where it is. The reason why is because it begins in that position of brokenness, that position of relationship, actually. Our Father. Before anything else. Before anything else. We're declaring our relationship, the relationship that we have with God. Our Father. And here's the thing. I don't want you to just recite the prayer. I want you to actually engage with it and to expand it. So, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now to hallow something is kind of to honor it, to esteem it, to build it up, to big up God. and we can do that. We say, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. You know, you are great, you are magnificent. My life, there are certain areas where I seem to be struggling at the moment, but I really want to exalt you. I want to put you in your rightful place as God above my life. Please, I'm lifting you up. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come in this situation, in my life. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's the next line that really highlights for me why I want you to try and do this every day for this coming week. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, give us today our daily bread. It's daily. Sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, we'll just recite it wherever and I'm done. We're ticking off a box because it's this linear progression. But even something like this can be part of the cycle of our discipleship. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's this position of brokenness, this foundation of brokenness before God. And he then takes it all and goes, look what I'm going to do with your life. It's kind of amazing. So yeah, begin with that broken position, putting God in your rightful place, and don't just recite it, really. Try to expand it. Use it as a foundation. Use it as a template to offer God a fresh prayer every day. And I think that come the end of the week, all of us will be in a different position, something in our lives. I've no doubt about it because it's the Word of God at work in our lives. If we're opening ourselves up and allowing God to let His Word speak, yeah. See, there's just an emphasis for you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if we are speaking this prayer into our lives, into our circumstances, I'm sure, I'm convinced that we'll see some amazing things come out of it this week, and come the end of next week, we'll see. Some people that are willing to be a little bit more honest about some of the struggles, going, you know what, I am struggling, but God's highlighted that I'm struggling with something and I need some prayer. But we'll also then see a few more of these saying, I wasn't expecting God to work the way that He did, but faith has come. And I'm seeing something fresh at work in my life. Is that okay? Good. So let's pray, and then PJD can come on back up. Father, I want to thank you that you care for us, and that you call everybody to you to cast our cares upon you. And we acknowledge this morning that sometimes we can have this facade that we have it all together. But before you, you know where we are. and you ask us, like you did with Adam and Eve, where are you? And so we come before you this morning. We open ourselves up and we say, God, here we are. And I praise you that just like you did with Adam and Eve, you clothed them yourself. And I thank you that even today, all this time later, you clothe us with the robe of righteousness, with the garment of salvation. And as we dedicate this week and our lives to you, just help us to declare your word into our lives and to let that healing salve that only you can provide be at work in our daily life. And we pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.